Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Of all the lies peddled by the Israeli state since this horror began, this one has proven the most murderous. Indeed, it has been a key plank of what makes this a genocidal campaign against Gaza. Now, cast your mind back to January when the International Court of Justice, that's the world's highest court, placed Israel on trial for alleged genocide, declaring it to be a plausible case. Now, at the exact same time, just coincidentally, a story driven by the Israeli state knocks that news from the headlines. It centred on the United Nations Relief and Works Agency of Palestine Refugees in the Near East, better known by its acronym, UNRWA. Founded in 1949, shortly after the foundation of Israel, it was charged with the welfare of the hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees driven from their homes in the so-called Nakba, or catastrophe, the term for this act of ethnic cleansing. It continued to look after those refugees and their descendants, and indeed new refugees driven from their homes in subsequent acts of ethnic cleansing orchestrated by Israel, not least in 1967. And today it's got around 30,000 employees operating in Jordan, in Lebanon, in Syria, in the West Bank, and of course Gaza, working with around 6 million registered Palestinian refugees. In Gaza, it's the main humanitarian agency, with around 13,000 employees running schools and healthcare and other core services. Now, in the midst of humanitarian catastrophe, defined by mass indiscriminate bombing, the destruction of healthcare, siege, famine, the lack of shelter, hygiene, we could go on, it is therefore a lifeline. Yet Israel has long despised UNRWA because it is a continuing reminder of the mass expulsion of Palestinians from their homes, that they have been refugees and are refugees, that the United Nations Resolution 194 granted the right of return to such refugees. It exists as a constant reminder that Israel is a occupying power, and as a result, it has a very clear legal set of obligations, which Israel flouts. UNRWA is also seen by certainly Israeli figures as instrumental in maintaining a Palestinian identity, which they want to snuff out. Now, the truth is that Palestinian identity will remain whether UNRWA exists or not. But destroying UNRWA undoubtedly helps dismantle the very fabric of Palestinian society. Indeed, UNRWA also provides huge amounts of information about the actual consequences of Israeli crimes, something else, of course, Israel wants to end. Now, since this horror began, Israel has slaughtered huge numbers of UNRWA staff, making it the biggest mass killing of UN workers and indeed aid workers in any conflict in such a short space of time ever recorded. Of course, no, none of those aid workers got even a fraction of the attention received when foreign aid workers were killed by Israel, not to distract, of course, or detract from the horror of that. Now, furthermore, as northern Gaza in particular collapsed into famine, Israel banned UNRWA from entering at all. Self-evidently itself, genocidal implications. You drag a civilian population into humanitarian catastrophe entirely artificially, then you wage war on the main agency which can protect them. So when the International Court of Justice issued its provisional orders, one of the most fundamental being that Israel must allow access to humanitarian aid, the Israeli state declared that UNRWA was complicit in the 7th of October attacks, specifically claiming 12 of its employees were directly involved in the attack. Now, frankly, on its own terms, this whole claim, this smear campaign, was an absurdity. Even if true, if 12 out of 30,000 employees were involved in a crime, and we don't know what the specific alleged involvement or the extent of that involvement even was supposed to be, you don't thereby strangle an entire agency. You'd have to shut down every agency and organisation on earth on that basis, because you'll always find individuals in any organisation who've done terrible things. I mean, the National Health Service will be shut down for Harold Shipman, for example. Now, there's also a presumption of innocence until guilt is proven. But the head of UNRWA sacked 10 of those 12 employees on the spot. He couldn't sack the other two because they'd already been killed in this bloodbath. Now, he thought, Philip Lazzarini, he thought that he would protect UNRWA by throwing them under a bus with no due process. But clearly, to be frank, that was obviously not someone who understands crisis management. It just added fuel to the fire. The Israeli state went further, though. They claimed widespread infiltration of UNRWA by members of terrorist organisations and also reheated old claims, for example, that UNRWA schools, children are being brainwashed, for example, to hate Jewish people. There was also, for example, the claims, not least in the words of the now sacked, but then official Israeli spokesperson, Ilan Levy, that UNRWA was a front for Hamas. Not infiltrated, just a front for Hamas. This obviously put a target on the back of anyone working for UNRWA. But crucially, it led to multiple countries to cut their funding to UNRWA. The largest, of course, being the United States. And the House of Representatives last month passed a bill banning funding for UNRWA until at least the beginning of 2025. That is stripping UNRWA of between $300 and $400 million each year. Another country which cut funding was the United Kingdom, as well as Canada and Australia and the EU. Though since, the likes of the EU, Canada, Australia, Japan, France have restored funding, but only after the damage was done. Indeed, $450 million or so of its funding was slashed altogether. Utterly devastating. Huge numbers of Palestinians being killed and suffering through bombing, bullets, starvation, lack of medical care, lack of fresh water, lack of shelter, lack of hygiene. We could go on. And the main funding, and the funding for the main humanitarian agency, was butchered. Now, the UN Secretary General commissioned an independent detailed report by the former French Foreign Minister, Catherine Colonna. Now, the results, well, firstly, we can note that Israel had failed to offer any supportive evidence of its specific claims about employees being taking part on the 7th of October. Now, I should say that's a parallel review specifically looking into that, but the Israeli state's refusing to cooperate, which is totally normal behaviour if you've got slam dunk evidence. But this review is about UNRWA's neutrality, and it highlights that UNRWA regularly gave Israel lists of its employees for Israel to vet, and that the Israeli government has not informed UNRWA of any concerns relating to any UNRWA staff based on those staff lists since 2011. So Israel was given the chance, with its entirely sophisticated and boasts about all the time intelligence services, to do all that vetting and come up with objections, but didn't offer any. It was asked to provide evidence, Israel, for links between UNRWA and Hamas and Islamic Jihad, and it has failed to provide the evidence. Now, let's just listen to this report from Al Jazeera.
Big picture is, this is a pretty damning report, but damning not for UNRWA, but for Israel, that accused 12 UNRWA employees of allegedly taking part in October 7th. In this report, they say that the Colonna report says that Israel never gave them any evidence to back up those claims. Now, this isn't necessarily new, because we've been hearing for months now from the spokesperson for Secretary General Antonio Guterres saying that they have not received any sort of evidence. So the fact that this is now also from the Colonna report, they also have not received evidence included in their final report, sort of backs up what we've been hearing all along. Big picture here is, this report, and this is important here, is not intended to look directly at the claims of the alleged 12 people that were allegedly involved, that have, no evidence has been provided. This investigation, commissioned by the Secretary General, is an independent investigation that's an independent review to ensure that UNRWA adheres to the principles of neutrality, right? And because Israel is saying UNRWA is not neutral. In this report, they say there is really no evidence that UNRWA is anything but neutral. They do lay out a few examples where UNRWA can maybe improve on some internal policies, such as maybe better training for employees, maybe better communication with donors, for example. But those are fairly minor, quite frankly. There's no, as we say, any sort of smoking gun in this report at all. There's also claims by Israel that we've heard for many, many months, if not years, that there are anti-Semitic books and teaching material in UNRWA schools in Palestine, and particularly in Gaza. This report by the Colonna report says that they found no widespread evidence of that whatsoever. So these are a little bit of the few of the highlights that we've seen so far.
Well, indeed, damning for Israel, not UNRWA. Indeed, the report offers practical, useful suggestions, and every organisation can always work to improve itself. And this report obviously was always going to offer suggestions, for example, on better upholding neutrality, dealing with allegations when they arise, indications of breaches, what the right disciplinary mechanisms are, as well as improved communication engagement with donors, all just very sensible stuff. Now, as regards one specific claim, the report says, although UNRWA has received criticism over the alleged presence of hate speech, incitement to violence and anti-Semitism in the Palestinian National Authority textbooks it uses, the researchers find that host country curricula and textbooks are used in accordance with UNESCO recommendations. The researchers' assessment is that UNRWA has been responsive to allegations of neutrality breaches and criticism of textbooks and has initiated a range of initiatives to ensure neutrality of the material of teaching, including preventive and mitigatory mechanisms and procedures such as a critical thinking approach. So, I mean, actually, UNRWA has been extremely diligent in trying, for example, in the case of education, to make sure that children have suitable educational material, not what the Israeli state has claimed. And frankly, if the Israeli state wants to get on a moral high ground and start talking about people being brainwashed to hate others, goodness me, goodness me. No self-awareness at all. Or when you just hate people so much, you don't even realise you hate them, just because of background noise. Have you seen what's on your television stations, Israelis? Have you been watching what's on your channels? It is the most disgusting stuff I've ever watched in the modern period.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Just genocidal. You literally have people on TV in Israel talking about how you need to kill children because they'll end up being terrorists, about how we should wipe out everyone in Gaza, and talking about how, you know, in response to Palestinians in Gaza being on the beach, for example, which there's a massive heat wave and being intense in those circumstances is unbearable. And there's a massive ocean next to Gaza running all the way down. And because they saw images at the beach, he has an Israeli journalist working for literally the most read newspaper in the country responding to that by saying we should exterminate everyone in Gaza. And you had, what, repeated genocidal statements by Israeli leaders to the extent where there was multiple pages in a document submitted to the International Court of Justice alleging genocide, partly because there's so many genocidal statements. And we're literally talking about textbooks in schools, are we? Well, the difference is the evidence wasn't there for the textbooks. The evidence is there for your genocidal statements. Where does that leave you? Clearly, the entire Israeli narrative has fallen apart. But shame, of course, doesn't just belong to the Israeli state. We don't just need to condemn them. Waging a genocidal onslaught, of course, revealed by the genocidal intents I've just noted, expressed by Israeli leaders and officials from the start, including the Defence Minister Yoav Gallant justifying a total siege of all the essentials of life going into Gaza on the grounds they were fighting human animals, as well as an advisor to his, a general, Gyura Island, who after 7th of October said that people in Gaza needed to starve and die or leave, and literally specifically called for the Israeli state to wage war on those providing aid to civilians on that basis. The shame doesn't just belong to them. It belongs to the donor states who, despite Israel's track record of pathological levels of deceit, who, despite knowing that the Israeli state has a burning grudge against UNRWA because it's deemed to disrupt its occupying and colonial project, They cut the funding whilst knowing that Gaza was being plunged into an apocalyptic nightmare. They've got the data. They know what's going on. Now, clearly in the British context, the government of Rishi Sunak took this decision and they should be condemned for all eternity for doing so. But at that moment, at such moments, the opposition has a role. You see, the Conservatives are very weak in this country. They've destroyed themselves. That's gifted Labour a huge polling lead. Labour are going to win the next election by a big margin. Labour's in a position of strength. They could have put pressure on the government by listening to the authoritative voices who pushed back at Israel's deceitful narrative at the time. I listened to them, and do you know what? They were right. Turns out all the people I've listened to all the way through this have been correct. So I just think maybe if I did that and made calls which all turned to be vindicated in the worst possible way, by the way, by listening to just people who knew that we're talking about, maybe the opposition party could have done that in Britain. This is, after all, a matter of life and death on a massive scale. So what did Labour's international development spokesperson Lisa Nandy do when the British government pulled the plug on the main humanitarian agency in Gaza in the midst of an entirely artificial humanitarian catastrophe? I'll tell you what Lisa Nandy did. She tweeted out a news story about these bogus claims with the accompanying text, allegations this serious demand a serious response. As the UK rightly ensures our aid is never used to support terrorism, we are seeking urgent discussions with ministers to ensure ordinary Gazans can access aid. The humanitarian crisis in Gaza cannot wait. In doing so, she helped legitimise a literally murderous smear campaign, which has undoubtedly caused and will continue to cause massive numbers of deaths. She could have put pressure on the British government to save lives. She had a choice, she acted on the choice she took, and there we are. And do you know what's even more perverse? I know these total awful losers who run the Labour Party, these awful advisers, who if you ever come across them, they're worse than you think. They'll be running the country soon, lucky us. They would have gone, you know, because they're dead behind the eyes weirdos with no moral compass, with no sense of what's right or wrong. They would just thought to themselves, this could be bad in a focus group if the government says this links us to terrorism. That's what they thought about. They didn't think about kids being slaughtered. They just thought, well, maybe this will be an attack line by the government against us. They'll link us to, they'll say we're soft on terrorism. That's what happened. Literally, I will literally bet everything I have on discussions of that nature having taken place. Callous, disgusting people. Sorry, just say it as it is. Oh, no, people go, oh, God, you can't say that. Oh, can we just turn down the rhetoric a bit? You know, come on, let's just agree to disagree. You can't just demonise your opponents like this. We're talking about mass murder. We're talking about people starving to death. People eating animal feed as their internal organs are devoured by their body before they die hideous deaths. Whilst little kids are being just ripped apart. Whilst young cancer victims are dying slowly and in some cases being further mutilated or being mutilated by bombs falling on them. And we have these people making those sorts of calls, not based on morality. And here we are. Yeah, it disgusts me. You know, I'm here to say what I think. It disgusts me, and I think it should disgust anyone with a moral compass. What did Lisa Nandy tweet today then anyway? A United Nations web link headlined, "No evidence yet of Israel's claims against UNRWA, Kolonna report," with the accompanying text, "The Kolonna report makes clear that donors should have confidence in UNRWA. Ministers must now come forward and explain how they intend to respond to the report and if they will restore future funding for UNRWA. It is an essential lifeline in Gaza." The absolute utter shamelessness of this, of these people. No shame, something else. All of those who played a role in this crime of historic proportions are going to try and walk away from the crime scene whistling, pretending it never happened. They'll claim they spoke out at the time. She'll point to the tweet that I just mentioned that she tweeted today. Oh no, I said it was a lifeline. When it mattered, when funding was being throttled because of baseless claims. You could have spoken out, but you didn't. You made a choice. And that choice is paid in the lives of other people. That's the currency. The currency for your political choices is dead children. That's the problem. This is why you see I've ended up in a position where I can't vote for the Labour Party, because I just think I'm dealing with people who have no basic moral core. I don't live in the same moral universe as these people. That's where we're at. I can't pretend I live in the same... I don't look at the world in the same way. It's just a complete divorce in morality. Now, we need accountability for a reason, because otherwise these crimes will happen over and over and over and over again. That's the problem. You see, we let them get away with it in the past. We let them people get away with the Iraq War, for example. We saw all the horrendous bloodbath and misery, all the claims used to justify it, nonsense, the blood and chaos, and then the only people who ever resigned or got held to account were the people who opposed it or seen as too critical. While the people who orchestrated it lived happy, prosperous lives with booming careers. That's the problem. No accountability. What do you expect? These things will just happen on repeat. A doom loop. A doom loop of death and misery. And as Gaza is plunged ever further into humanitarian calamity, it's up to us to speak out ever louder. How many times do I have to make videos about Israel's deceit? Deceit, which is literally used to justify some of the worst crimes of the 21st century. It's not what I want to do in my life, I'll be honest with you. And I think you probably want to do other things with your life than listen to this sort of stuff. Because we shouldn't have to bear witness, but we have to. And we have to hold people to account. Because we can see the consequences. And the consequences are going to get a lot worse. So, let's make sure we speak up. Please like and subscribe. Do leave your comments. Do share. Help us take on the pro-war media. Patreon.com/ONJ84. Listen to us on the podcast. I'll speak to you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.